is interpreted a week of suffering or in to endure pain. It's the time that Jesus makes his entrance into Jerusalem. And I've read this account so many times. I want to encourage you, read this. I was so, Elena Colton came up to me Thursday night and she said, guess how many chapters of the Bible I've read this week? I said, I don't know, 20. She's very studious. 20, 30. She said, I read 50 chapters. And I thought, what a scrub I am. I need to step it up a little bit. But this is a week for you to do that, for you to really press in and let a refreshing come to your heart. As I was reading and studying, and I know this, historians say that there was nearly 3 million people in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified, and nearly 4 million that had gone through that region just during that week. The city was jammed because of Passover time. It was dirty. It was dusty. And the reputation of Jesus had already been established to many because just the day before was the day that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And while he was on his way to do that, he had healed two men that were blind. You remember the story in John chapter 11. And the masses of people heard about these miracles and they wanted to see who this was that was coming to them. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 7, 8, and 9, it says, they brought the colt to Jesus. They put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. I want to remind you today that the cross of Christ is the centerpiece of our faith. His death, his burial, and his resurrection is what brings hope into every one of our lives. But not only this week do we remember this, but we should remember it every week of our lives, every day of our lives. We should get up and let that hope that Jesus has given to you and I become real to us. Jesus, the Jews were waiting for a king and they were waiting for a Messiah and they were hoping it was going to be Jesus, and it was, but he came in a wholly, totally different manner than what they had anticipated. They were taking their coats off. They were laying them down. They were cutting leafy branches, palm branches to lay down. That's where the phrase Palm Sunday comes from. And by the way, you'll be handed a palm on the way out the door today. This was to provide like a red carpet for Jesus to come into Jerusalem on. But today, as followers, we are asked to do more than just take off our jackets and wave our palm branches. Jesus asked us not just to lay down our coats and our palm branches, but he's calling you and I to lay our lives down for the cause of Christ. And Palm Sunday is that day that we can remember what Jesus has done for us and the price that was paid with the blood that was shed for you and I. And that is a week that every part of society was there. It's like today, some who had been beaten down with life, some who had been sick, some that had been waiting for him a long time. The diseased were there. Some the elderly were there. Some outcasts were there, people that nobody else wanted. They were there. And knowing what was before him, knowing and understanding the betrayal that was coming, the humiliation and the suffering and the death that was to come, as he come in and people are shouting, Hosanna, Jesus, the King, our Messiah. Jesus knew it that at the end of the week that his death would be the marker of time from that point and forevermore. But he didn't come in like a victim. He came in willing as a sacrifice for whosoever will, that would believe in him, that he would give his life for them. And he is still doing that today, that you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything together. There were people there that had failed him. There's people here today that have failed in life. And maybe your shame makes you feel like it's impossible for you to imagine that God could love you or could forgive you. But I want you to know that there's never been a time in history where you can know the love of God like you can know it right now. And Jesus you know, he's not surprised by our failures. He came into Jerusalem that day. He came to the cross that day to deliver you and I from our failures, from our past. And his invitation is simple. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. He said, I'll give you hope. I'll turn your life around. I'll let you see the destiny and the purpose for which you have been born into this world. And I'd like to take you from that place right to the cross, because I want us to have this embedded into our hearts this week, the cross of Christ, and to be mindful of the cross and what has taken place. And for some of you that are new to your Bible, you need to mark this in your Bible. You maybe even on your way out, you get a couple of extra of these and put them right in that spot in your Bible so that you can look at that later. You can underline that. If you're me, I'm not good at underlining. I just make a mess, so I got to have something to help me do that. But don't forget where this is in Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. I want to read these few verses. It said, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him, Jesus, there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, not only the criminals, but everyone who is watching, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And people stood watching. And the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. And the soldiers came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who hung and there hurled insults at him, saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. But this man, he's done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, the criminal said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And religious people still struggle with that verse to this day. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Wow, that's amazing. And it was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breast and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. I'm just amazed by the myriad of different responses that took place that day. That day, so many people, not just his followers, who were watching what took place. There were critics, the Pharisees, the eyes of the criminals. Jesus' mother was there. There were different responses taking place. Some sympathized with him and others criticized him. Roman soldiers at the feet of the cross, at the bottom where Jesus' blood was being poured out for not only the sins of all humanity, but even the Roman soldiers, they were casting lots to see who would get his clothes. And I don't know about you, but I love to watch people, and I love to see how people offer different responses at different times to different situations. Have you ever noticed how people, they can see the same thing, yet respond in a different way? And it was interesting on that day to see some how they looked at the cross. Some focused on what Jesus did. Some were looking at him, were broken because they didn't understand. And then there were some standing there, they didn't even know, nor did they care what was happening. The greatest event in human history, the event that changed the course of the world, yet all the people there did not know and did not recognize and didn't stop to look to see what was happening. He wasn't on the cross for his sin. He was on the cross for your sin and mine. You know, do you get distracted easily? Sometimes, I know I do. I get distracted very easily. I was reminded of this last night when I was just going over my notes and praying. I remember over 20 years ago when I worked at Home Depot, I was working at the store in Buffalo, and I was standing at the front of the store. It was on a Saturday. They wanted all the managers to be near the front and watching people and greeting them while they come in. And I was there, and this man and a woman came in together. And the man began to walk in. I said, "Good morning, how are you?" "I'm good." And he wasn't any farther than Patty is from me where she's sitting now. And he fell over flat on his face. And believe it or not, there was a medical doctor that was walking in behind him, came over to him, called me over, said, "Come here, help me." Turned him over, began to give him mouth to mouth, he said, "Hold his head up, watch his tongue." I mean, I'm like, okay, I just came to work today. And now we're here trying to save this man's life. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, the different responses that took place to what was happening that day. Some came in, they said, "Is there anything that we could do?" Some came in, they said, "We called 911. Some came in, they looked, and they kept on going. I'll never forget this lady. She came right up to us while he's compressing on this man's chest. I'm there praying. I'm believing God's going to touch this guy and raise him up. His friend, she was standing off to the side crying, and this woman comes up to me, and she goes, "Which way is the plumbing department?" Jesus is dying. He became guilty so we could go free. And the thief and others said to him, "Save yourself." But he knew that if he did, which he could have, the Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels at that time. He could have wiped everybody out. He could have come off that cross and he would have been looked at as a victor at that point in life. But he was there for a greater cause, and that is to eradicate the burden of sin and pain off of humanity, not only then, but for the rest of mankind history. And I want to be aware of that this week. I want to remember, not only on Palm Sunday, but I want to remember that. I want to be aware of that this whole Easter week. I want to remember if I gather together, if we get together for whatever celebratory reasons, I want to remember that we're not just getting together to have a good time, that we're getting together because of what Jesus has done. I want to remember that when I invite people to come to church, that it could be their eternal destiny at stake. I want to remember, I don't want to be distant. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be what the Bible describes as just an onlooker. I don't want to be somebody just watching or somebody known as somebody that's standing off in the distance and saying, "Well, that, you know, I don't know what's happening there, but, you know, good for them." I want to be fully aware, fully present, fully engaged, fully knowing what Jesus has done for me. And I hope you will realize that. Because you and I, we can approach God not by what we have done, but what he has done for us. Come on, do you realize that? That Jesus has made a way for you and I, that in our life, we don't have to be alone anymore. He's also made a way for you and I just to have family. I'm so thankful for that. You may have been born into a great family and have great siblings and everything. But when you are born into God's family, you automatically, you get connected with brothers and sisters everywhere. You are automatically my brother, you're my sister. Or you may be a person here today, you may have been given up for adoption. Maybe your mom, you never knew her, or your dad, you never knew him. But I can tell you something, that when you come to Christ, you have now brothers and sisters, and Jesus has made a way for you and I to have family. You are never alone again. I'm thankful for that. And he's also made it possible for us not only to receive forgiveness, listen to this, but he has given you the ability to give forgiveness. to love and to accept, because we don't act the same way we do when we come to Jesus. We don't talk the same way we used to when we come to Jesus. We don't hold grudges or animosity towards others when we come to Jesus, because when we come to Him, He becomes a part of who we are, and we are now brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, you ought to say a good amen today. We don't let bitterness and anger eat away at our lives anymore, because He has made us new, and we give it all to Him. We begin to live free, and we begin to enjoy the life that He has given us. He has empowered us. He has healed us. And when He frees us from whatever it is, maybe you're here today and you're struggling with an addiction, I want you to know that God comes with all the power of heaven behind Him to deliver you from whatever is holding you from His best in your life. He's given you that love so that you can carry it and share it with others. You can lift someone else up to this week because of the love of Jesus. You can help that cranky coworker, maybe. You can love them like you've not loved them before. You can love that cranky spouse like you've not loved him or her before. Him or her. You can love the cranky boss. You can show love to them and surprise them. And when they say, "Why are you acting that way this week?" you can look at them and hand them one of these invites and say, "Because it's Easter week, that's why. And I remember the power of the cross in my life." And you can tell them what God has done inside of you. Listen, I want you to remember these few things, and I'm going to close. Number one, I want you to remember this week, remember the price that was paid for you, that you could not earn it, you can't achieve it, you can't do what it takes to earn forgiveness. It was the cross of Calvary, it was the blood of Jesus when He hung on that cross that paid the price for you and I to now be free. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. You have to remember that you have to choose. Everybody makes choices every day. We live in a culture now, you got to choose this, you got to choose that. Go this way, go that way. Come here, go there. Do this, do that. You got to make a choice this week that no matter how busy you are, that you will pause and put Jesus first in your life. There's no neutral when it comes to Jesus. You're either in or you're not. You're not going to ride that fence. You're going to be in or you're not. You're going to make the decision to come to Him, just like the criminal did on that cross. One said, "No, if you were all that, you'd save yourself. You do this. You get me out of this. You give me money. You help me out. You do this. You do that." And the other one said, "What's up with you?" And looked at Jesus and said to Him, "Will you remember me when you come into paradise?" And I liked what one preacher said, that day when Jesus breathed His last breath. And the Bible says that He walked into His kingdom, into paradise, that walking behind Him was this same criminal, beat up, broken, tattered, blood coming down him. His mama was disappointed in him. His daddy was disappointed in him. Nobody loved him. Nobody liked him. They wanted him to die on the cross. But because he came to Jesus and said, "Remember me," he walked right into glory right behind Jesus that day. Woo! Come on, make the decision. And you got to remember, it's a place. Debbie, come on up to the keyboard. You got to remember, it's a place of new beginnings. It's a place where you can start all over again. You can start all over. You can start brand new. I don't care how much junk you got in your past. I don't care how much trouble you've gone through or you're in right now. You can start new. You can face up to that. You can start brand new today. It's a place of hope. Somebody needs to hear this today. People have lost all hope for their future. Lost all hope that they can ever move forward or have anything in their life. And Jesus said this is a time where He wants to give you that hope. It's a time of healing. I was reminded of that today. Isaiah, 700 years before the cross, he utters these words in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He said that by His stripes, we are healed. I went to the doctor a few weeks ago. I've had this pain in my side, not in my bottom, in my side. That was supposed to be a little funny. I was trying to lighten the mood here just a little bit. He said, you got a kidney stone. Drink lemonade. Drink lemon juice. I said, thanks. That sounds, can't you just give me a pill? No. You're going to have to work this out on your own. And I was reminded of this scripture today. I don't have to necessarily work it out on my own. Yeah, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do. But by his stripes, I can be healed. You can be healed. Physically, emotionally, relationally. This is this time for you to stretch out whatever's been broken in your life and trust him with all of your life. And it's a time for freedom. Some of you are carrying around issues and stuff in your life. You got hang-ups. And you're in bondage to it. And God says, this is a moment, this is a week when you come to the cross that he gives freedom in your life. I'm so thankful for that. And none of this takes place without the cross and the blood that was shed at Calvary. And when we come to the cross, we're not neglected. We're not rejected. We're not marginalized. We're not pushed out. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, you know, people say, come here, we want this one, and we want, and I'd get up in the line, and when I get there, they'd say, well, this isn't for you. This is for, I knew what they were telling me. You're short. You're fat. You don't have nothing. You don't have parents. We don't want you. But when I came to Jesus, he was there with his arms wide open. He said, come on in. I remember that time when I came to the cross. I was alone. I was marginalized. I was so mixed up. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just came. It sounded like a whole lot better deal than what I'd ever been offered before. And I'll never forget when the preacher that day, and I was sitting next to my girlfriend, and I looked at her and I said, I got to go. Will you go with me? And she said, no, you got to go alone on this. Some of you need to know that it's your time. This is your week. This is your day. He wants to change everything in your life. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I feel that today. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to close in just a moment. I want the prayer people, if you would, you just come on down here right now. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. This is your day. This is your moment. Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about marginalized? You want to talk about being raised up in trouble and brokenness and heartache? Just open up your eyes. Just 1 minute. Look at me. You see this boy right here? I'll never forget the day he came in here. Broken, marginalized, rejected. Trouble at home. No home. He made that step that day to give his life to Jesus. And this is what God does in a person's life. Now he's up here. He's going to pray for somebody that may be going through the same thing. All right, this guy here gives his heart to the Lord while he's in the Genesee County Jail. And now he's up here praying with me and praying for you. You think you're too far gone? That God can't do something great in your life? He's got you covered today. Close your eyes. I'm going to close in prayer. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you've never given your life to Christ, do that today. And if you're away from him, come to him. If you're just, you're one of those onlookers, get up close to the cross. Just like the song that the boy sang, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Father, I ask you today for every life, for every mom, every dad, every son, every daughter, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, whoever that are here today, this will be their, not only their moment today for a transition to happen in their lives, but this week, every day of their life, that they'll come closer to the cross They'll come closer to your bleeding side. I pray that today some will make decisions. It won't just last a few moments, but they will leave here today with a deposit of your Spirit in them that will cause them to make a decision to move in a new direction. Oh, thank you, God. I pray your blessing over every life, over every heart today. And I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a great amen. Come on, do you love the Lord today? Do you love Him? Before you leave today, if you need prayer, I want you to come down here. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to say another time, another day, another moment. You come. You come today. Ryan, come on up here and just close for me, would you? Honey, come with me.
Thank you for what you've done today, Lord. We just say that we're so appreciative. Our hearts are grateful. Continue to work in us, Father. We just ask you that you'd send us those people to invite and minister to so they could hear the gospel. Their lives can be changed. Use us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.